Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting not only from the middle of the mitten, but in the mothership from the Black Diamond Group with my good friend Craig Russell from the Morning Hustle, now 20 days a week.
No, sometimes it's 21.
Sometimes 21.
Maybe 22 even.
22.
It's a tip-up town weekend number two in Houghton Lake.
What a great time yesterday, Saturday was.
Fantastic.
Unbelievable.
Joe Kane and Revolver, you hung out in the beverage tent a little bit.
I had a great time.
There are people everywhere. The polar bear dip, we gave away our icebreaker challenge. We gave away our big ice fishing package with 98.5 UPS. Omelet and Coates from Rock 105 were there, or from our sister station, The Bear, were there. Rock 105, of course, we're on. Rock 105 and 95.5 in Traverse City in Sheboygan. We just rock.
Yeah, with Smitty.
Yeah, with Smitty.
Cartman in the morning. Yeah, I'm Cartman in the morning.
Bad imitation.
Yeah, it really is. So what's going on with you, man? What's your story? What's your deal?
Craig Russell, we have a huge show.
A huge show.
We are a law show, the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. This is my fake radio voice, by the way.
Okay.
I'm an attorney practicing all over mid-Michigan, all the way to the top of the UP.
You are all over. You're literally the state of Michigan.
I love traveling throughout the... You know, small towns and under the radar. I love that show, Under the Radar.
That's a great show.
Great show.
We should get that Tom guy, the guy who hosts it with a mustache. We should get him on sometime.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah, it would be fun.
But we have a great, great lineup today of information for the listeners.
Okay.
Next week, though, our good friend, Matt Green, attorney at law from Mobile, Alabama, will be joining us.
No. Get out of here.
The guy is... stellar.
We've talked to him a couple of times off the air, and now we're going to finally get him on the air. We finally got the schedules to work out, got the equipment all hooked up. He's ready to go.
So we're going to have an attorney, folks, next week on from Mobile, Alabama. It's my good friend Matt Green, your friend also. You've got to know him off the air.
Yes.
He, for 9 years, was a district court judge.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, he was a prosecutor. Prior to that, he clerked for one of the big judges in Mobile, Alabama. He's done some work for Jeff Sessions, and now he's literally... if not the top criminal defense all-world attorney from Mobile, Alabama, and the surrounding areas, he's the man, and he's going to be on the show for an hour.
If there was a Todd Levitt in Mobile, Alabama, it's Matt Green.
He's so cool, and we've done some work together.
Right.
He's a blogger. He appears on radio shows.
Right.
He's got some great stories. He's going to be comparing... Michigan laws versus Alabama laws.
Really?
We're going to be talking about cannabis.
I mean,
Alabama, very conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Sessions is from there. So Matt's got some great stories. He's got some great comparisons from law in our state versus their state.
It's going to be interesting.
Can't wait.
Now, of course, you can hear this show all over the country and all over the world because we podcast, but we're based out of Michigan.
We are.
So you just have to know that.
Yeah.
So when we're comparing our state laws and Alabama state laws, there's 48 other states that maybe your laws are involved with or something. They may be different from our stuff. So make sure you check out if it, like any of the advice that, maybe you'll be talking about or things you'll be talking about. You don't go, hey, in those states they can do it. We can do it in our state. So make sure you check out what people do in your area and what the laws are in your area.
Exactly.
Before you,
consult with an attorney. And
exactly.
The good news is, because we have upgraded the mothership
yes.
to some serious technology,
uh-huh.
we are teched out right now. We're going to be having attorneys and guests on from all over the universe.
Yeah, no kidding.
And Matt's the first one.
He will always have a special place in our heart as being the first one we can actually put on and have it be on. You're breaking things over there. Good Lord.
I know. And then Sarah Barber from Canabon Therapeutics will be coming on in a couple weeks.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
is she going to be calling in or is she going to be coming?
She's
back?
Coming in studio.
Okay, good. I like it when she comes in
little
studio.
Little John's coming back.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Big hair.
Oh, we got to have big hair.
My buddy, one of my best friends, Frank Bailey.
Okay.
Big shout out to Frank.
Is he related to George?
No.
No. Okay.
Love Frank.
Just all right.
By the way.
Yes.
Deviation.
Okay.
It is the morning.
Uh-huh.
We open the show.
Yeah, with one of your favorite songs of all time. It's because you're watching the new Sons of Anarchy show. I guess it's new to you.
This was Black 47, Big Fella.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this the opening and the music we're playing today, this group is an Irish group.
Okay.
I'm 3% Irish, so I'm feeling the Irish in me. They originated in New York, and they just broke up a couple years ago. They've been around, I think, since the 80s, late 80s, possibly.
Oh, okay.
So I'm on season 6 of Sons of Anarchy. I mean, it's amazing. This song that we're playing today
okay.
was a scene where the group of guys were in Belfast, Ireland, and they opened this show with this song, and I've been hooked on it ever since.
You don't get to watch a lot of TV, do you?
I'm a binge watcher.
Okay, you binge watch. Have you ever watched the show This Is Us? Have you ever heard of that before?
No.
No?
Of course I've heard of it, but
okay.
I don't have time to watch everything.
I know. Well, it's weird because this week I bring this up for a reason. There was a storyline where a guy dies, and the reason he dies is because he had a crock pot, and the crock pot turned on in the middle of the night, and now people are throwing their crock pots away because they think it's going to happen to them, and it's like, people, it's a TV show. Things that happen on a TV show don't necessarily happen in real life. Your crock pots are safe. It doesn't happen that way.
Yeah, I have a crock pot.
I do too.
Yeah. I just want to say the word crock pot.
Now, is it crock pot or is it a slow cooker?
It's a crock cannabis because I don't use the word pot anymore.
Okay.
So I have a crock slow growing
cannabis.
No. Where's my head at?
I don't know.
But hey,
I'm not sure.
Speaking of cannabis,
uh-huh.
big shout out to the state of Vermont.
Yes, Vermont.
Vermont is the first state, folks, to legalize marijuana through legislation, meaning all the other states where it's legal came through the People's Ballot Initiative, where
right.
the people gathered the signatures, put it on the ballot. Vermont is the first state in the nation to legalize marijuana legislatively, and Governor Phil Scott, Republican, signed a bill a week ago tomorrow, Monday. This was a week ago, legalizing marijuana for adults age 21 and older. And how much can you have, Craig Russell?
Probably an ounce, I would imagine.
That's a good guess. It allows for possession of up to an ounce of cannabis. I like the word cannabis.
It's a little classier sounding.
As well as 2 mature and 4 immature plants. I'd like to see that it would be a little more than that. But hey, Vermont now becomes, folks, the 9th state to legalize recreational cannabis for adults. But all the other states did through ballot initiatives.
Now,
Vermont.
Do you have any idea how they were able to do that without a vote?
Oh, absolutely. They sold a lot of Ben and Jerry's hemp flavored ice cream.
Okay.
Ben and Jerry's, by the way, folks, originated in Vermont.
Yeah, it did.
But that's how they did it. No, Vermont's always been very progressive.
Okay.
In fact, I love shredding the gnar at Killington, Vermont as a snowboarder. Killington is just a great place to go.
So this is is it possible, and maybe you don't know the answer to this, but I'll bring up the question, because Vermont is close to Canada, and of course in Canada, Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, has said marijuana, cannabis, will be legal by July of this year, and that isn't anything that anybody voted on. That's going to be a ballot initiative as well. Is it possible that maybe they decided just to get the jump on it? Because I'm sure there's probably a lot of people that go between Vermont and Canada.
I just think, you know, there's 30 states now, and D.C. currently have laws, maybe more than 30, 31 possibly, have laws that broadly have legalized marijuana in some form or another.
Right.
It's just the way the country's going.
Exactly.
But you're correct, because when we do drive through Canada on the 403 to the 402 to the 401 across Buffalo up into Vermont.
Right.
Okay, we cut through that way.
Yeah.
As you're heading north through Albany into Vermont,
you'll see signs for Montreal.
Exactly.
So if you keep going north, you're going right into Canada.
Yeah, you're not that far at all. So I just wonder if that was maybe part of their rationale.
No, I just think the whole country's going that way.
It's
true.
We
just need the government now to remove it from Schedule 1 as a controlled substance. I just harp on that every week. And when attorney Matthew Green from Mobile, Alabama comes on next week.
A nice plug.
I'm looking forward to hearing what Matt has to say. And by the way, another big shout out to Dana Ross, a fan of yours.
Okay.
Yeah, Dana's a good friend of mine.
Okay.
She listens to the show on the podcast.
All right.
So she downloaded, folks, because you can do this, she downloaded the podcast app. It's free.
That's what you do.
So on your phone, put in the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, subscribe to the show. After the show, we upload it onto a platform, which is iTunes, and it'll appear on your phone. Dana Ross, big shout out to Dana and Dr. Lipsky.
Okay, where's Dana and Dr. Lipsky from?
Dr. Lipsky is one of my close friends, one of the best doctors I know, and he's out of the Farmington Hills area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So is Dana down in that area as
Dana's
well?
Dana's down in that area.
Oh, okay.
Anytime she wants, come on up, we'll have her on the show.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
But hey, what else do we got to talk about today, Craig? We have some really cool stories.
There's a lot of stuff going
on. Yeah, we got some
on.
Cool stuff to talk about.
Including not only...
Is there a frog story?
There is a frog story. The Supreme Court is hearing a story about frogs.
When I was a kid, I used to collect toads. So instead of Todd, they'd call me Toad. Random, you know, that's a Facebook comment. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's like Facebook.
Funny.
Nobody cares.
It was funny. Also, we have Amish stories, which is good because for our Amish listeners.
No, we have more Amish that listen to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show than any other radio show.
That's true.
So big shout out to all our Amish friends.
And we were talking about this before about self-driving cars. There's actually a self-driving car story that kind of ties into what we've talked about.
Yeah, and that's why we brought that story back.
Yeah, that's
and
great.
We have much more. Craig, we have to go to break?
We do have to go to break, but when we come back, we will get into all these stories and a lot more. It's Law on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Featuring Craig Russell, one of my best friends from the Morning Hustle, from the mothership in the middle of the mitten. And it is beautiful, and it is full of nutrients. Let's go to break. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Coming back strong with Black 47, Big Fella.
Big Fella.
From the Sons of Anarchy soundtrack there, Craig.
You're a big fan of that show, aren't you?
I'm on season 6, and I'm a week from today, I'll be done with it. And then I'm going to start a new binge-watching show.
What are you going to start binge-watching? Have you decided yet?
I'm not sure. Everybody's been saying watch See Dark.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
Don't
Dark.
Know.
Dark, yeah.
Don't know.
Hey, by the way, I have a complaint. I mean, what would a law show be without an attorney complaining?
What would a Todd L. Levitt Law Show be without you having a complaint?
I think everybody can relate to this.
Okay.
I'm in Chicago over the past week and a half.
Okay.
I had to go to Chicago for business.
My favorite town.
Love Chicago. No, Chicago.
Chicago. Did you have pizza? Deep dish pizza?
I didn't have any pizza.
Italian beef?
I didn't have any Italian beef.
Chicago hot dog?
I forget about it.
Okay. That's New York. Let's forget about New York.
No,
thing.
Can I just tell you something?
Okay.
Everybody's going to be able to relate to this.
All right.
Hotels.
Mm-hmm.
Hotel bathrooms.
Uh-huh.
Two things. One, the mirrors are huge.
Yeah, you can see everything.
And to make it worse, the lighting is if you're in the middle of a motion picture.
Uh-huh.
I mean, hotel bathroom lights light up that small space in such a large way that when you look at yourself in the mirror, you see things that you never knew were there. I mean, it's just too much light.
And on top of it,
do you agree with me on that?
I do, totally.
Like, give me a switch to turn it down.
Yeah, how about a dimmer? A dimmer.
Hotels should have dimmers.
Yeah, agreed. On top of that, they should also have fans in the bathroom because you know what? You take a shower and it steams up that whole mirror and it takes forever to clear it off.
That's when you need to be able to see the mirror. I like to steam. You want to know why?
Why?
Two things. One, I'm a guy.
Okay.
Number two, it straightens out my clothes. It's like dry cleaning your clothes. So if you're on a business trip and you no, listen, if you're on a business trip, folks, and you have a dress shirt, you put it in the shower, steam up the room, and it will take the wrinkles out. Did you know that?
I could figure that out.
No, that's a true story.
Yeah, oh yeah.
All right.
But what does you being a guy have to do with anything of that?
Because that's such a guy thing to do, isn't it?
I guess. Okay.
I mean, I'm a guy. I guess do guy things.
Sense.
It's a guy thing.
I guess that
but
makes
sense. But the bathroom
sense.
Light's way too bright.
Agreed.
Big Hair agrees with me on this one.
Does he?
By the way, he told me his Prius now gets 46 miles to the gallon.
Really? That's it?
Yeah.
Shouldn't it be more?
Yeah.
Shouldn't it be like 100 miles to the gallon?
We got to have Big Hair on the show because he does not look like a Prius driver.
No, not at all.
He's more like a big truck guy.
Yeah. Or a motorcycle guy or something like that. He doesn't strike me as being a big, as a Prius guy.
Yeah, but
only 46 miles. It seems like it should be more than that.
Exactly.
Wouldn't you think that?
What do you got, Craig?
I got a story. Speaking of cars and probably self-driving cars, I would imagine a Prius could be a self-driving car someday.
We talked about this a few weeks back. You had a question.
We did, and I wondered if you're driving a self-driving car and you are not at that point responsible for what's the driving going on because you're not actually doing any driving and it gets into an accident or something happens, how could you be held responsible if you're not driving?
So this is an issue that came about in California with... What type of car?
It was a Tesla, which is an electric car to begin with, made by Elon Musk. And a guy in California, he was pulled over, arrested after police found him apparently passed out in his stopped car on the Bay Bridge in San Francisco.
And his argument is that it was a self-driving vehicle. He should not be held responsible for drinking and driving.
But on top of it, the car autopiloted and stopped in the middle of the bridge. I wonder how the car would do that. Why would the car stop by itself?
Here's why. Because it had to do with the computer system.
Okay.
There was a whiteout. So if you read through the entire article, there's something in that story where the car stopped. But the point is, the guy was drinking. He was drunk. The case has yet to be litigated. And the issue is he responsible for operating a car that was operating itself?
I would think he would be at this point.
Well, on a previous show, you said he wouldn't be.
I know.
But I would say he would be because, look, it's like this. You're sober right now, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah,
if you go to the bar right
now. It's 8:15 in the morning, man. Of course I'm sober.
But look, people who, first of all, nobody drink and drive.
No.
But at some point, before you're intoxicated, you're sober, and you make a decision, a choice, to start consuming alcohol.
Sure.
So you made a decision to do that. This guy or woman made a decision to drink and then get into the vehicle. They had to do something to trigger the vehicle to operate itself. Therefore, there's probably going to be an argument that they were still operating the vehicle in some manner or another.
Well, I would say...
So that's what I'm saying.
Right. I would say, and part of the problem is something happened to the car. Now, at that point, if the car worked normally and got pulled over, I would argue that he would not be responsible. But the fact that something happened to the car, that is his responsibility, that the car be working in perfect order.
I would think. I'm going to say as an attorney that when Michigan is flooded with these vehicles that...
And they will be.
If you're consuming alcohol and you're inside that vehicle, there will be an amendment to the 257 code, the Michigan Motor Vehicle Code, to include self-autonomous vehicles that you, prior to getting into, consumed alcohol and your blood alcohol is 0.08 or higher, you're still responsible for getting in the vehicle and doing something so that the vehicle operates itself.
What do you think about this?
But then the question is, can you be responsible for something that a computer does? That's the issue.
Well, I would think you would be.
Isn't that what the issue is?
I would think you would be. I would think you would have to be. The fact, if the car had worked perfectly and gotten this person home without any issues, no, we wouldn't be talking about this. But the fact that the car malfunctioned, that's his fault.
But think about someone that gets caught drinking and driving. I mean, that's what I specialize in.
Right.
I mean, they're responsible because in most cases, their ability to operate the motor vehicle is impaired due to the consumption of alcohol. But there are also cases where they're just operating a vehicle, they get a flat tire, they go off the road because they got a flat tire.
Right.
And it just, obviously, you're still guilty of drinking and driving, even though you didn't cause the tire to go flat.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
No, it does make sense.
Because I'm jacked up right now. It's what, 8:15, 8:20?
Something like that. You got like shots of espresso going
through. I did my own Polar Dip this morning on the way here.
Oh, really?
At the gas station. Oh, yeah, I stepped in a puddle.
We watched that yesterday, man.
Oh, yeah.
I can't do that. I could not do that. Okay. Not at all.
I won't do it.
Those people have a lot of guts and a lot of crazy all mixed into them.
I mean, the only thing I like cold is my pillow. Other than that, forget it.
And maybe beverages. beverages. I like beverages cold.
You do?
I do. Well, now, so here's the only other thing I'll say about this, because, you know, those there's a lot of those test grounds in Michigan for those self-driving cars. I think at some point, and I know you're not going to agree with this, maybe you would need to put something in the car that would stop it from operating, like, say, like one of those little breath things that the people have to use that if they get busted for
ignition
DUI.
Airlock device.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's going to need to be put in electronic cars to use it, and it won't start if you've had something to drink.
Well, first off, it's not illegal to drink and get behind the wheel of a motor vehicle. It's illegal if you're 21 and under, because I don't know, we have listeners from all over the country.
Sure.
Most states, such as Michigan, we have a under 21
zero tolerance.
Yeah. Correct. So, but in Michigan, if you're 21 and over, you can consume alcohol and get behind the wheel as long as two things. One, your ability to operate that vehicle is not impaired. And two, your blood alcohol doesn't reach 0.08 or higher.
Right.
You can still be charged with impaired if it's 0.07 if your abilities was so impaired from the alcohol and a mixture of other substances.
Do those interlock systems, do they operate, because I don't know much about them. I had a friend who had to use them, but do they work sort of as breathalyzers?
I don't think it's fair to put ignition interlocks, because these companies would love, there's five companies in Michigan and have
right.
a license to provide ignition interlocks to the citizens and the courts and Secretary of State.
Right.
They would love for the law in Michigan to, or even around the country, to say it's going to be mandatory now that these devices are in those vehicles. Imagine the money they're going to make.
Would that make
it's all about
more,
money.
Would that make things more safe, though? If you had to use one of those interlock systems to prove that you have not been consuming alcohol, and if it works as a breathalyzer,
but here's the problem.
Could it see that you're only at 0.05?
Here's the
and
problem.
So let the car start?
Would it make it more safe? I mean, you could take, there's two sides to that, yes and
right,
no.
Right, right.
But here's the issue. As someone that deals with ignition interlocks, because one of my specialties is, not as a shameless plug, is driver's license restoration.
99-772-6000.
Right.
Todd Levitt.
Talk to Jackie or Jennifer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that was good. I like that.
You like that?
Yeah.
Here's the issue.
Okay.
These devices are computer chipped devices.
Okay.
There's always problems with them.
Much like with an electric car that stops
exactly.
in the middle of the Bay Bridge. Sure.
So it's such a mess with these devices. There's so many men and women are utilizing them, and there's false positives, and the wiring is faulty, and so they're getting violated. So if these were in every single vehicle, there would be cars shut down all over the roads because something would go wrong and it'd get locked out. It'd just be a mess out there.
But wouldn't you think if...
So no, I don't want to see these in every vehicle.
Do you have any idea how many there are in vehicles in Michigan right now? Any
thousands.
Clue? Thousands.
Yeah, I would say...
Hundreds of thousands?
No, I would say probably... Anywhere from, I'll just take a guess. I mean, I could find out through the state of Michigan. I would say
right.
5 to 10,000.
Okay. And there's 10 million
at
people.
At $100 a pop
and
a month.
And there's 10 million people that live in the state, and probably half of them are driver eligible. So out of 5 million people, there's 40,000 of those.
Probably more.
Okay.
And they're, but they're picture devices. They're required. So you get it in Michigan, in order, when you blow into this device, it's going to take your picture.
Okay.
Because what used to happen was, let's say Craig Russell would have a device ordered by the court or the state.
Yep. You have someone else blow into it. Yep.
So they got wise to that.
Yeah. Because I just wonder, if all of a sudden you had 5 or 6 million cars that had to have them as opposed to 40,000, don't you think that they would maybe get the technology better
and fix them
to the point of,
because
of the
something.
Money they're going to be making?
We're constitutionalists here.
I agree.
We believe in the Constitution.
No, I totally agree.
There's already enough laws that impede and just squash our constitutional rights. They keep getting whittled and whittled away.
Agreed.
Our privacy rights, our freedom of movement. I mean, it's just, there's just too many laws out there that suppress our rights.
Agreed.
So I don't want to see any more of these devices than I have to.
Totally understand.
There you go.
There you go.
There's just too much that the system piles on the people too much. Not just in taxes and, you know, health care, but when it comes to the judicial system with all the cost and the fines
and the fees
and the testing, random alcohol and drug testing really came about in the mid-90s. I got out of law school, Detroit College of Law, in 1992, started practicing in Metro D in 1994. They didn't yet have random drug testing.
Sure.
It's just too much.
Sure.
I'm going to go on the record right now. A lot of courts utilize it. I just think it's too much. I'm just saying.
I totally understand.
I get why it's there. It should be case by case. Too much.
Agreed.
I'm trying to be political here.
I know you're doing a fine job. You're gonna.
I don't
job.
Know if any. I got to work in this state.
I know. So we got to change the subject. So after the break,
frogs.
After the break, frogs and chickens.
Yeah, frogs and chickens.
Frogs and chickens.
Yeah. Can you tell the difference if you're eating a frog compared to a chicken?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Sometimes frog tastes like chicken.
Yeah. You look good today, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
How about my hair?
Yeah, your hair looks awesome,
dude. It is down to my shoulders.
8:20.
Dude, I'm living 1980 style here. And by the way, Steve-O. 80s at 8.
Yeah.
I listen to that, you know, every night he's on.
Right.
I'm always on tuned into Black Diamond Group Station.
Yep.
You know, Rock 105, 95.5, and 98.5, and then Twister. And we got all kinds of stations here.
Yeah.
But 80s at 8, I never realized that how many bad relationships I've had. All that music I was listening last Friday. And I'm just telling you, Craig Russell, Steve, I love you, Steve. But there was some song that came on after Tears for Fears. It was like a little rap song. Down and don't you munch and dun,
oh, dun, Pass the Dutchie. Pass the Dutchie by Musical Youth.
Immediately, I thought of like when I was 15 years old, this relationship I had dancing at the Premier Center, and it was just a nightmare.
Now, do you know what that song's really about?
I have no idea.
It's actually
Pass
the Dutchie, not the Dutchie, but the pot.
Right.
Dutchie is pot.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it has to do with that. So.
But music
doesn't
takes,
that change your opinion of that song a little bit more now?
I love it.
Okay.
Doesn't music, though, take us back?
Oh, sure. It's totally.
Yeah, so 80s, totally. You're either going to have good memories or bad memories.
I have good memories of the 80s. I grew up in the 80s.
Yeah, so did I. How old are you?
I am 138.
You are. Happy birthday. Should we go to break?
Yes, we should.
Take us out.
All right.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting in the middle of the mitten from the Black Diamond Group Mothership on Tip Up Town weekend. This has been just a great weekend.
Oh, yeah, all over the place.
I haven't left Houghton Lake.
I know, you're all
over. Or Prudenville.
You're everywhere.
Yeah, who named Prudenville?
Somebody who was a prude.
Yeah.
It was probably Mr. and Mrs. Prude, and they decided to name it.
You got the Beavers to the west.
Prudenville.
No, the Beavers to the south.
To the south.
South. You got the Prudenville Prudes. Yeah. I mean, I got a lot of friends in Prudenville.
You know, I-69 runs pretty much in this state.
It does. Big Beaver Road.
There you go.
Yeah, what can you say about that?
Know. There you go.
Hey, what?
Well, I was going to say, next week we're going to talk to Matt Green.
Attorney Matt Green.
Yes, from Alabama.
Mobile, Alabama.
They have got quite the controversy going on in Alabama. It has to do with people who run the jails and taking money. And inmates and food.
Sheriffs. And now, folks, if you're just tuned in, next week, a good friend, Matt Green, attorney, former judge in Alabama, was a judge.
Oh, that's right. He was a judge, wasn't he?
Matt was a judge. He's so certified badass.
Yeah.
He was a judge for 9 years. Prior to that, a prosecutor, clerk for one of these big judges. He's done work with Jeff Sessions. Okay.
Our attorney general.
Yeah, and he's in private practice now. He's the top of the top. He's like, he's just amazing. He's a good friend of mine. You've gotten to know him, and he's coming on the show.
And he's got a great Southern accent.
He does.
He does. He just sounds like he is large and in charge.
He is large and in charge.
You like that?
I like that. We should talk to him about that.
Yeah, we should.
Hey, you want a story on frogs?
I do.
All right. The United States Supreme Court. Our United States Supreme Court.
Okay.
Not any state court, the court.
The United States Supreme Court.
The law of the land court.
Uh-huh, the big one.
Has accepted a case on endangered frogs. And this actually is going to test, folks, the reach of the federal law out there. So the United States Supreme Court, about a week ago, agreed to consider a case, because they have to consider taking these cases.
Sure.
Not just every case goes from the appeals court into the United States Supreme Court.
Yep.
And involves an endangered frog. It's an endangered frog. And regulations and private property. So what's the issue? The issue is a 2012 decision by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to designate 1,500 acres of private land as a critical habitat, ready for this, for the dusky gopher frog. So there's a frog called the dusky gopher frog.
Dusky gopher frog.
Yeah, and okay. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife designated 1,500 acres of private land. Look, not public land, private land.
All right.
So
what's the problem?
So the problem is the private land contains no dusky gopher frogs. and not only does it not contain, are we talking about frogs on a law show?
We are.
So the private land contains no habitat for these frogs, and therefore, and the land is located in Louisiana,
okay,
and it's owned by a company. So the company says that the Fish and Wildlife Service has misinterpreted the federal law and supplanted traditional state authority to regulate private land. So what happened was the designation by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, get this, cut the land's value by up to $34 million, according to the company that owned the land and owns the land next to it. So they still own the land, but it's been designated as a critical habitat. So that's the issue.
So what you're saying is this company owns this land, and the Fish and Wildlife Commission or whatever or group just came in and took it over? They just decided to abscond the land? How does that work?
Well, I mean, at the time, the frogs were at that time declared an endangered species. This goes back to 2001.
Okay.
I think there were only about 100 of them that I looked up, known to be living at all. But here's the thing. Get you ready for this? They all lived in one Mississippi pond. And so if they all live in a Mississippi pond, how is it that, you know, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, which does a great job, by the way, we support them and the DNR. I mean,
sure.
We're not against the DNR. We
love
the DNR. But the land that was designated is about 50 miles away from this Mississippi pond.
So what were they going to do? Were they going to truck the frogs into this area?
They haven't been seen in Louisiana since 1965, my birth year.
Well, why don't they just make the pond in Mississippi the place where the frogs
are? So here's the argument.
Okay.
The argument on behalf of this private corporation that owns the land is arguing, and briefs have been submitted, that the federal appeals court gave too much deference to the Fish and Wildlife Service's interpretation of the Endangered Species Act. It all comes down to the Endangered Species Act.
So does that allow the Fish and Game Department to just go ahead and take whatever land they want?
Yeah, Houghton Lake, you better watch out.
What
happened to be in Houghton Lake?
Right? Well, I understand, but why?
Named after Mr. Houghton, by the way.
Is it really?
No, it's a true story.
Charles Houghton.
He was a surveyor.
Yeah.
In the UP, my buddy Steve Lato, attorney at law, has written books on this guy.
Houghton Lake is the largest lake in Michigan.
Yeah.
Besides the five Great Lakes. It's the largest freshwater lake in Michigan.
Did you know water never disappears?
It
just evaporates.
Okay. Yeah,
water, we will never be short of water. Think about that.
No, that's true.
No, what happens? No. Where does water go? Into the ground.
It goes into the air.
No, it goes into the ground. Let's just say it rains. It goes into the ground.
Right.
It goes into the rivers, the streams, the creeks. I don't call it creeks. I call it creeks.
Okay.
Then it evaporates, goes back into the clouds. It rains again. And it just keeps repeating itself.
My granddad used to call it creeks.
It's a creek. I'm from Detroit.
I know. He used to call it Battle Creek.
We used to call the Rouge River the Rouge River. I don't know where that came from.
Used to call it that?
So, hey, right here on the Todd Levitt Law Show, the United States Supreme Court accepted a case
in regards to
endangered frogs.
So they're actually going to take the case.
They took the case.
Oh, they took the case.
Yeah.
And what did they rule?
They haven't ruled yet. They just accepted the case.
Okay. So have they tried it? I mean, have they actually heard the arguments and everything, or are they just not?
No, the briefs have been submitted.
Okay, so it could be another year or two they actually hear it.
But I like the name of the frog.
What was it again? The gopher bucky frog? What is it? What was it?
Dusky gopher frog.
The dusky gopher frog.
Well, how'd you like a college team to be known as the Dusky Gophers?
Well,
we have the Minnesota Gophers.
The Golden Gophers, yeah. That was my nickname when I was in high school, was Gopher.
Gopher?
I used to work in a miniature golf course, and I was a gopher. Gopher this, gopher that. And I just
did you work at a miniature golf course?
I did work at a miniature golf course.
Okay.
And at a video game market at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was gopher. Gopher this. Gopher that.
Gopher this. Gopher that.
The Dusky Gophers.
The Dusky Gophers.
I wonder if there's a town named Dusky in the country.
I just like the name Dusky Gopher.
Dusky Gopher.
Yeah.
Have you ever talked about frogs on this law show before?
Never talked about frogs.
Because you've done this law show long before I came along.
I didn't know the Supreme Court would actually accept a case on frogs.
I'm surprised by that myself. Hey, I've got more kind of frog-like animal-like story.
We have an Amish story.
Amish story. And
what's the other animal story?
The animal story is about chickens.
Okay, what about chickens?
I talked about this on the radio this week. There's a family in Texas. They had a big chicken. Big chicken was called Big Mama. Chicken died.
Okay.
So they placed an obituary in the paper.
Nothing wrong with that.
I'm amazed people still read the paper. That's what I was amazed by. Big chicken.
Was there a big controversy that someone put an obituary about a chicken?
No.
In the
how
paper?
Many have you ever read an obituary for a chicken before?
No.
Have you read an obituary? Because some people, when people's like dogs or family pets, but obviously the big chicken was a big family pet, and so Big Mama the chicken.
Speaking of well, the chicken passed away.
Chicken passed away. I was going to say, you were going to say.
Want to know what a big issue is?
Keep speaking.
We are a law show. I mean, yeah. This is a good segue.
Okay.
This is a really big issue.
Okay.
And I've had a number of requests to bring on an attorney to speak about this.
About big chickens?
No, about probate law.
Okay.
That when loved ones pass away, others in the family and close to that individual swoop in to their house, their trailer, their apartment, and start taking personal belongings that most of the time, most of the stories I've heard over the last two decades practicing law do not belong to them.
No, not at all.
No, not at all.
No.
And then the issue comes about often when there's kids involved and there's money and personal property. So the other issue is when there's a man and a woman who have lived together for decades. And, you know, there's a house and there's personal property.
Mm-hmm.
They were not legally married. So typically, I'm just going to say this, not being a probate or divorce lawyer, the property stays in the family of the decedent.
Yeah,
it doesn't go to the girlfriend and her family.
No.
But too often, and sometimes it's the boyfriend that's left living, the family will come in and start taking personal belongings that belong to the kids. Now, some of these kids have never been in the picture. Now they're back in the picture. It's crazy. By the way, if anybody has a family law issue out there,
okay,
I'm associated now, the Levitt Law Firm, with a family lawyer, Aaron Coltrane.
Okay.
Out of Roscommon, is now setting up shop in Mount Pleasant out of my office.
Oh, okay.
So if anybody has a family law question, give me a call at 989-772-6000. I'll put you in touch with Aaron to his cell phone. See, when individuals have a legal issue, for instance, automobile accident, truck, ORV, snowmobile, you know, they've been injured.
Right.
If they call my office, I'm going to put them in touch directly with attorney John Marco to his personal cell number.
Right.
As opposed to calling a number and getting
office.
A receptionist.
Yeah.
And No. You've got a personal injury issue or now a family law issue. You call my office, I'm going to put you in touch with Aaron Coltrane and or John Marco. I do all the criminal defense work.
And much like if they have somebody had a drunk driving restoration situation and they call John Marco, he would call you.
Or a possession charge,
or retail fraud.
I do all that stuff.
Exactly.
I do a lot of operating with the presence of drug cases.
So let's say this company that owns this land that they're putting the frogs on, if they came to you to help defend them, would you do it?
I love frogs.
I know.
But I also believe in property rights.
What was your name when
Toad?
Toad, yeah, there you go.
There's a difference between frogs and there was a book, Frog and Toad.
There's a difference between frogs and Toad.
There's a book, Frog and Toad.
That's right.
But look, I believe there's a lot of landowners out there who have had a lot of issues. I'm not a land attorney,
right?
But with eminent domain,
we've talked a lot about land.
Did I just
issues.
Say the word eminent domain?
You did. You sounded very smart.
Wow.
Yeah, a real attorney.
Adverse possession.
Yeah, stuff.
We
talked about that.
We're gonna have Aaron Coltrane on.
Oh yeah, we should have. Yeah, that's right. That would make
perfect
sense.
He's gonna be coming
on.
But next week, attorney Matt Green out of Mobile, Alabama, is coming.
Yeah, he's gonna be large and in charge.
Large and in charge.
There you
That's
go.
Right, attorney Matt Green, large and in charge.
We gotta.
Can
start
I just tell you something?
What's that?
I'm way overdressed right now.
Hey,
and
Sunday morning.
I am so hot. I'm losing weight over here.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, I literally am just. I've got a down coat on in the studio.
I don't know why. Why do you?
Because it's like wearing a sleeping bag.
I
sleep in a sleeping bag.
I got
at
it.
Home.
I know.
You know that.
I know because you're weird.
No. What? No.
No, I know.
No. You know what? I'm going to buy you a nice sleeping bag from Jay Sporting Goods.
Okay.
You'll never sleep under a comforter again.
Yeah, you say that.
All right.
Hey, we got a story about the Amish coming up. Our seven listeners who are Amish.
We have 20 Amish
20
listeners.
Amish listeners? Yeah. Okay, well, we've got a story that's going to affect some of them.
What's the story?
I'll tell you about it after the break.
We have to go to break?
Yes.
Will we come back with Black 47?
Of course.
Singing Big Fella?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Take us out, Craig.
We'll be right back.
time to chew the bullets and the sparks. Always with a smart remark, your eyes blazing blue. Oh, when we need a confidence, we always turn to you. Oh, when they shot our leaders up against command and woe, you were there beside us in that awful Easter Jordan pizza.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Hey, if you're just tuning in for the first time, what took you so long?
Yeah, what the heck?
We come to you each and every Sunday morning from the mothership, Black Diamond Group mothership in the middle of the Mitten.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful nutrient field on 98.5 UPS.
And Rock 105 and Rock 95.5. We just rocked.
And
Traverse City, Sheboygan.
Podcasting on Podbean.
And SoundCloud and the iTunes Market and Google Play. You can get us all over. Just download that podcast app. And then that way you can just search for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show and you can hear the show anytime you want. We put the show up, you know, during the week, and then that way you
can
hear
it. A lot of people don't catch the show. It's early in the morning.
It is.
And they just catch segments of it.
That's right.
I love when people say, like Dana, my friend Dana Ross, big fan of yours, she just downloaded the app, and the first show she listened to was our Thanksgiving show.
Oh, that was a fine
show.
She
loved it.
That was a fine show.
She wanted to know all about Craig Russell.
Ah, well, I'm a mystery.
Yeah.
I'm an enigma. Or something like that.
No, you're a good
guy. But I'm not Amish.
You are not. Yeah, what's the story about the Amish?
Well, you know, the Amish people, the backbone of America, something like that. You know, closer down to the Indiana border, there's a lot more Amish.
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania and that place. But Indiana,
listen,
there's Amish.
Clare
there's Michigan
County
Amish.
Is not lacking.
No, there's Michigan Amish. There's all kinds of Amish people.
Let me guess. This person's name was Yoder.
I don't know. I don't even think it was actually a person. This is a group. There's an appellate judge in Pennsylvania. They've ordered a group of Amish, a family, to use an electric sewer pump. Now, you know, the Amish don't usually use electricity. They believe in living off the land, and they believe of making their own thing. But they have, this appellate has ordered them to use an electric.
What's the name of the family?
It's the Old Order Amish Family. Order, not Yoder.
Yeah,
you
but
said
what's
Yoder.
The name?
What do you mean?
Well, that's an Old Order Amish family, meaning under the Old Order.
But I gotcha. An Old Order Amish family. I don't think it says the name. Oh, yeah, it does. Joseph and Barbara Yoder. What do you know about that? Look at you reading the story like you know.
So the issue was that in this county, they want all of its residents to be, or township to be hooked up to this system.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a waste system?
It's an electric sewer pump.
Okay. And the Amish, not wanting to use electricity, have been ordered to do so. Interesting.
Do you think they'll win?
I mean, that's now you're talking about, you know, the religious rights versus state rights.
Yeah.
So the state versus religion.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a touchy subject.
I would just say you have to look at case law. You know, previous precedent, where if there's been any United States Supreme Court cases, number one, any federal court of appeals, what district it came out of, any state rulings, especially in states where the Amish reside, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana. So what have some of the rulings be, these decisions? So that's what, as an attorney, that's my first thought.
I'm not going to lie.
Is that fair to say that?
Sure.
You get that?
Sure, yeah. I'm not going to lie to you, man. I've been doing this for 28 years, almost longer than you've been practicing law. I've been on the radio.
24 years.
Yeah.
But I clerked for 4 years.
Okay. So we've been doing this about the same time. I was always taught there's two things you never talk about on the radio. Religion.
Politics.
And this has got both of them, basically.
Well, we're not.
You know it's going to be a political thing
but
eventually.
Did you see how I answered that?
Yeah.
So the question is, the Amish have been told by one of the appellate courts in Pennsylvania that they have to connect to the sewer system.
And they don't want to do
that. They don't want to do it.
Because of their religious.
Do you really think most of the Amish don't use electricity? I mean, truthfully?
You know, I don't know. I know that some of them now have cell phones. Some of them use outside sources of communication. But I, you know, this is Lancaster, Pennsylvania. This is the heart of Amish country in this country.
And by the way, I often travel the backcountry roads.
Okay.
Even towards Montcalm County,
there's
a lot of Amish.
Mm-hmm.
I always slow down for the horses and buggies.
Well, you have to.
No, because a lot of people don't.
No, that's true.
Like, have some respect, one, for the safety of these individuals. This is how our ancestors used to, this is where we came from, horse and buggies.
Yeah.
Have some respect for the horse and the person in the buggy. And a lot of times, they're young kids.
It's just, you know, I mean, I just don't think
What's your opinion? Should they be ordered to?
I don't think they should be. I think this is their lifestyle. This is their, unless there's some reason it's going to make things not safe for the families. Like maybe they've decided that people are dying because they're
here's
not
the issue.
The sewer.
Well, here's an issue.
Okay.
My good buddy Malcolm Fox, he's in charge of Isabella County Water.
Okay.
He's always testing the rivers and the lakes and whatnot. I think the issue is, what are they doing with their sewage, and is it being washed out into the water system that the township and county people are then going to drink?
Well,
I'm just saying, because what are they, if they don't use, do they use toilets?
Well, I mean, there's plumbing isn't
toilets
electric.
Aren't electrical.
They're not electric, so I'm sure they probably use toilets. And there are plenty of people who are not hooked up to electric sewer systems that live out in the country.
That was the dumb question.
They have a septic tank.
Wait, do they
now,
use toilets? Wait,
now,
hold on. I mean, I'm thinking, where's my head at this early in the morning? Of course they use toilets.
Well, not necessarily. They might have outhouses, but even if that was the case, or if they have a sewer system, now they probably don't have an electric sewer pump, which is what they want them to get into.
Here's what I would say.
But
do what we do when we camp. Dig a 6-inch hole. That's it. Can I tell you something?
I didn't need to know
There's
that.
Something very free about doing that, okay? You find a tree, you dig the hole, and you grab the tree,
you know,
and you just, it's morning and breakfast. Let's move on.
I've almost done this show with you for a year, and this is the first time we've ever talked about frogs and pooping in the woods.
Chickens.
Pooping in the woods.
Pooping in.
And that's what you're talking about.
Right.
You don't need to dig a 6-foot hole if you're six. Just peeing.
Listen, if you're in the backcountry and you're rustic camping, it's a written rule. You dig a six inch hole, and don't.
It's fertilizer.
Whatever you bring into the backcountry, you take with you. Nothing upsets me more.
You're not gonna dig that with you.
No, not that.
No, you're not taking
but
that.
But nothing upsets me more than if you're hiking, you know, Lake in the Clouds, or you're up in Canada, or out west, or east, wherever you go, wherever that place is for you,
Irish country,
that there's garbage there.
In Mississippi, where the frogs are.
There's no.
We've been jumping all around the country, man. Yeah. We're taking a tour around the country. We just said nothing really about California.
By the way,
yeah,
this is our last segment.
Yes, it is.
I'm still not on any social media.
I know you've been off for the whole year. For the first month,
folks. Let me tell you something. You do not need social media. I am free.
I was going to say.
I am so free right now. I'm not involved because when you're on Facebook and on social media, you know, one, it should be called Who Cares? Because nobody cares. Am I right?
It's true.
Think about it.
No, it's true.
I mean, you really don't need that affirmation.
That's true.
So not being on social media, I feel no longer involved in the lives of all my fraternity brothers. I don't have to see their family pictures of their vacations and their babies and their grandkids. And I don't have to hear them debating politics and sports. Because you know why, frankly, Craig? I don't care.
There's ways to take care of that.
What?
You know, there's apps you can put in that you can block keywords out, specific words, family, election, stuff like that.
Look, life is complicated enough. Would you agree with me?
I would agree.
People, as humans, we create so much conflict and stress. There's already enough stress as it is. If you just manage the people in your life,
mm-hmm.
who you talk to on a daily basis,
right.
make sure that no one's pulling your strings.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it.
I do.
Family, number one, can pull your strings.
Oh, yeah.
So if you limit those members of your family from communicating with you on social media and other ways, they can't pull your strings. Because I will text my kids, and they will think they think the tone of my text, they hear my voice,
mm-hmm.
and think I'm yelling at them. That's how people are on social media.
It's true.
It's true.
It's true. No, it is.
Right. But you if I text you, I'm not yelling at you. I'm just having a conversation.
It depends on what we're talking
but
about.
But if I'm texting really fast and
And if you're talking to your kids.
If I'm texting really aggressive.
What are you doing? I'm sure you're not saying
No, if you're
that.
Doing really aggressive text messages, like they're coming in fast and furious.
Yeah.
My point is this. Humans, we create so much conflict with each other. If you limit the amount of contact you have with people all day, who you see, what you say to people,
it eliminates the drama.
It eliminates drama and stress.
Yep.
I am at such peace right now.
That's good.
I am so happy not to be on social media.
That's
because
good.
My fraternity brothers were always tagging me, and then I had to respond. Who needs it?
That's good.
I'm living back in the 80s. I am.
Yeah, you are. That hair is proof of it.
Dude. My hair is rad right now.
Hey, speaking of the 80s, we are out of here.
We have to go?
Remember Dennis was Dennis Miller on the Saturday Night Live? And I am out of here.
He
would write the thing in, on the paper when he'd do the fake news.
Oh, yeah. So,
yeah,
we talked about, this show is a great show. We talked about Vermont legalizing marijuana, being the first state to do so through the legislature, not ballot initiative. We talked about chickens.
And frogs. And the Amish.
And the Amish.
And self-driving cars.
And staying off social media.
Frogs.
And frogs. And we're
pooping in the woods.
Pooping in the woods. We're turning and burning and rocking right here on the Todd's Rock Block with Craig Russell, who's program director for Todd's Rock Block.
All right, wrap it up there, man.
We got to go.
Yeah, we got to go.
Hey, I'm not just a litigator. I'm an advocator. Next week, Attorney Matt Green, Mobile, Alabama, will be on a show with you, I, and all the listeners. We'll see you next week. Take us out.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show, brought to you by Chad Malleywell Drilling of Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder in Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's fastest growing full-line Arctic Cat dealer, Dr. Robert Townsend and Denali Healthcare for your alternative healthcare needs, Clear Vision Windows, Siding, Roofing, and Attic Insulation of Midland, and Tim's Collision Plus.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.